Carl Hyacinth's character Skink is a fixture in the fictional Florida world he writes about, a vagabond ex-governor and environmental vigilante who even gets a shout-out in a Jimmy Buffett song.
Tourists were cackin' and tourists were packin' while he and Skink cooled their heels in the shade.
But now Skink is appearing in Carl Hyacinth's first book for teens. What? Is that safe? Well, it turns out that skirting a few laws in the company of a crazy-like-a-fox ex-governor, who still has friends in high places, may be just the coming-of-age experience a young person needs. The book is narrated by Richard, a fatherless teen whose cousin Mally has run away with a man she met online. Richard and Skink embark on a road trip to the Florida Panhandle to find her. The title of the book, Skink, No Surrender, and Kyle Hyacinth joins us from the NPR studios in Washington with more. Carl, good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you.
And for anyone who needs a reminder, sketch out Skink.
Well, his background is that he was governor of Florida very briefly. He was elected. He'd come home from Vietnam. He was a decorated war hero. He'd been persuaded against his better judgment to run for office and got elected governor and arrived in Tallahassee to find, to his horror, that he was the only honest person in the zip code. And it made him crazy. After a few months, he just basically ripped off his clothes and ran into the swamp. So he's sort of that kind of a hermit guy.
Yeah.
And I sort of trot him on stage whenever I need a certain kind of vengeance.
Well, he appears in odd places, like buried in the sand, breathing through a straw to catch people stealing turtle eggs, for instance. He's quite the environmentalist. But he's out of his mind. Where did this come from? I keep picturing past Florida governors, you know, Jeb Bush or Charlie Crist, and try to picture them as Skink.
Yeah, in their dreams, maybe. No, he's not modeled on any Florida governor. I've had a couple of former governors, not those two, but earlier governors who thought, or at least told their friends, that I modeled Skink after them, which was not true at all. This is the kind of character that, if he did exist and he had been governor, Florida would be a lot more civilized place right now.
But the other main story that Skink now becomes a part of is of a young person who's living in a world where everybody's online. His dad, he dies. It's very sad, but he dies while eating a Butterfinger while skateboarding, and he runs into a UPS truck. His dad sounds kind of flighty.
He was a beach guy. You know, he was. We have those in Florida. They're just the free spirits, and they're drawn to the water. And Richard has lost his father, but he has a stepfather that he gets along with okay. But Richard is the only one who's really at first concerned about his cousin disappearing, because she's run away before. She's done kind of crazy things before, but he's got this gut feeling that this time it's serious, that this is a bad dude that she's connected with. And he decides he's just going to go find her, and he sort of ends up improbably with this crazed, one-eyed, wild-haired, you know, ex-governor screaming in a car across the state of Florida at high speeds.
But, you know, tell us more about, we've spoken before, your characters, Karen Russell, another Florida-based novelist, her characters, they just seem both extremely cool but also a little crazy, a little unhinged. I mean, tell us more about this world that these kids live in.
Well, at least in Richard's case, he lives in a beach town, and everybody surfs or skateboards or just hangs out on the beach. And there's a whole lifestyle that develops around it. But, I mean, it's just this incredibly beautiful, you know, there's the Atlantic Ocean, there's the beach. It puts you in a certain mellow space. And then you get to the rest of the Florida, which is urbanized, high crime, crowded. So you have this great dichotomy in Florida. You can live in an urbanized state in a very short period of time, find yourself in true wilderness as well. But, I mean, these characters, I know to people who don't live in Florida, they probably seem extreme. But to people who are there and who know the scene, there's nothing really surprising in my books to people who live in Florida. They read about it every day in the newspaper.
And they live it, and they are it, and
sure,
they know people who are it. But just quick, this is a book for teens.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from? And this concern of, you know, online friends.
Yeah. Really, after all these years, and my own youngest is 14, and he's read some of the grown-up books. He's finally old enough for that. And he thought Skink was a terrific character, and he thought his buddies and the kids he knows would like it. And I thought, well, maybe it's time to turn this guy loose on the youth of America and see what happens. You know, I mean, it was that simple. As the storyline developed with the online predator aspect, certainly – you know, that tilted it toward a little older audience. But that wasn't even my decision. I mean, I was just writing a story, and I wanted it to be a road trip between a pretty cool kid and this wild guy whose heart is in the right place, and he's a really flawed hero, and he's not a role model, but he still has a great deal of appeal to young readers as well as the older ones. So that was, I was just putting it together as, you know, as I went along.
Yeah, and he has a strong moral code.
Very strong, yeah.
And a real sense of the environment. Just, you know, one of the storylines is that they think they see an ivory-billed woodpecker. This is, of course, the beautiful bird that's been extinct, but then people claim to have seen it. There was a sighting in 2004 in Arkansas.
Yeah.
That one was supposed to be, I mean, are you laughing? Because that one was supposed to be, you know, confirming the ivory-bill's existence. It was thought to be extinct.
Right, and then a lot of experts decided that it wasn't really one of those. Yeah, this has become sort of a mythical presence that people want to believe the bird is still alive, and certainly Skink believes it's still alive. But the truth is there hasn't been a definite authenticated sighting of this bird since, I think, 1928 or something like that. But it's the sort of thing that if you're a person who spends a lot of time in the woods and in nature, you've always got one eye open just in case you see one of these incredible things. And I actually saw a bunch of them, but they were in the Smithsonian. They were preserved in a drawer where they keep birds that don't exist anymore. And I just wanted to see how big they were and what they looked like. And a friend of mine was able to get me in, and they open the tray, and there's all these magnificent, the largest woodpecker in North America, and a very cool with big crest on its head and everything. But all I could think about was, wouldn't it be cool if they were still out there somewhere?
Well, and the crest is this big red plumage, but they're a white and black bird. And how big are they?
Well, I don't know how to describe. Like, they're large. They're, you know,
like 10 inches? Or?
At least bigger than that, I think, when
they're
full. And the sad thing was, toward the end of their existence, when it became known that there weren't that many left, the people started shooting them and selling the specimens to various museums, and which actually hastened their extinction. So it's, but it was a sad story. But, you know, again, Skink, for all his cynicism and everything he's been through, is a dreamer at heart and an idealist at heart. And if he wants to believe that bird is still out there, pretty soon Richard, who is more of a sort of a scientific kid, pretty soon he starts to believe too.
And what does that mean to you, for your characters? I hear how excited you are yourself about this bird. And what is that? Why did you want to put that in a book for young people?
I mean, I think young people want, like all of us do, to have hope, to hope that something that we were told was true, some bad news that we were told was true, isn't true. And they also want to believe that nature can prevail and persist in the face of, at least in Florida, continuous onslaught of overdevelopment and overpopulation and massive amounts of pollution. Everything that we throw at nature, despite all that, there's still some incredibly pristine and beautiful places in Florida where you can see some amazing, amazing wildlife. And it makes you feel humble and small because these critters have been around longer than we have.
Mm. Well, Carl Hiaasen, the book is Skink, No Surrender. We highly recommend it for, you know, young teen readers. Although that part where you had Skink falsify his learner's permit so that he could drive, I don't know.
falsify Richard's?
Yeah.
Isn't that every kid's dream?
Yes. Every parent's nightmare.
Yeah. Well, I know. I've got one. Mine's going to get his learner's permit in January if the stars align. But, yeah, he thought that was a pretty cool part of the book, too.
Thanks so much for talking to us about it.
Thanks, Robin.
And this song, Search for the Ivory-billed Woodpecker by Bird Show of North America. And Jeremy, they're in Georgia. You're heading to Carl Hiaasen Land.
That's right. We're going to be broadcasting tomorrow from WMFE in Orlando, focusing on the governor's race in Florida. We want to thank our friends here at GPB, especially Dewey Newton, Tom Barkley, and Sean Powers.
Okay, Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.